In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. It had been a long time since I heard that version of the second antiphone since seminary, probably with all the extra verses, and I realized how much I missed some of those, having the declaration of the glories of God, the things he does for us. The Lord gives food to the hungry, opens the eyes of the blind, raises up those who are bowed down, watches over the sojourner, upholds the widow and the fatherless. One of the lines from the full psalm says, "The Lord sets the prisoners free." The Lord sets the prisoners free. Well, who are the prisoners that the Lord is setting free? Today we encounter a man in our gospel who was possessed by demons a very long time. He lived sometimes driven out into the wilderness, sometimes in the cemetery, among the graves, wore no clothes, cut himself with rocks. Occasionally you could hear him screaming in the night. And Jesus comes by one day, gets out of the boat. He had just calmed the storm and he heals the man. And the legions of demons begs Jesus to be able to enter a herd of pigs nearby. And so Jesus lets them. Now, this is bad news for both the pigs and the demons. The pigs go rushing off down the embankment, and they drown. It's vivid. It's violent. It's dramatic. It's also a huge loss, a huge change for the pig farmers. And these pig farmers, they go back and they tell the village what had happened, and they all come out to see what's going on. And there they see Jesus. And there they see this renowned neighbor of theirs, if you can call him that, this crazy man, suddenly clothed, in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, having an ordinary conversation. And they look over the embankment and they see the dead pigs. And they tell Jesus, "You need to leave. This is not what we want. We do not want you around." Now, part of me might have a little bit of sympathy. They don't know Jesus. He just got off the boat, literally. He just got off the boat. They don't know him. They lost a big chunk of their economy. And what if more herds are lost if this Jesus hangs around? But before we have too much sympathy, first let me make a comparison. Let's set this in modern times. Let's suppose Jesus was visiting some county hospital in a small North Carolina town. Jesus goes and visits a lung cancer patient who is still hopelessly addicted to tobacco. And let's say Jesus casts out the two demons of addiction and cancer and lets them go across the street, across the highway, to a tobacco field, and the demons burn up the field. And you're the tobacco farmer. And now Jesus is sitting with Bill Jones, who's cancer-free. But you're out your tobacco crop. Now, tobacco kills about 500,000 Americans every year. That means 1,300 people since yesterday at this time, at about 10 o'clock a.m., 1,300 people are now dead because of tobacco since just yesterday at this time. That's a scientific fact. 1,300 people, 1,300 Americans. I don't know about worldwide. So if you're a tobacco farmer in a North Carolina town, are you more glad that Bill Jones doesn't have cancer? Or are you more upset that Jesus wrecked your crop? And if you're a neighboring farmer, are you more excited for potential healings? Or are you more concerned about what's going to happen to your crop? Now, what does that have to do with these pigs? Well, let's not forget, pig farming was against God's law. Pig farming was against Jewish law. Pigs were unclean and pigs spread disease. And did I mention that pig farming is against God's law? When Jesus heals the demon-possessed man, he not only cures him, he gets rid of a source of sin for the village, a source of sin with which they had probably become rather comfortable, not to mention a profitable source. Their response is, "Go away. We'd rather have our pigs than healing." Now, earlier I said, be careful you don't have too much sympathy for them for their loss, because they end up on the wrong side of history. They put economy over humanity. They put pigs over people. Because who is the prisoner that Jesus is setting free? Is it the possessed man? Or is it the pig farmers? But also I want to say, be careful you don't judge them too harshly. Have you ever chosen? Have you ever preferred something that was destructive to your own soul or to your neighbor's soul instead of what you ought to have chosen? My mom always taught me that when you point a finger at somebody else, you're pointing three fingers back at yourself. Or to put it another way, what do you need to give up in order to be healed? What are your pigs before we start pointing fingers at the pig herders? And what, when we think about what are our pigs, why don't we let these pigs go? It's because healing can cost you. We get used to a certain sin. We're comfortable with it. We might even profit from it momentarily. You know, an addiction has a certain profit to it. Holding a grudge has a certain pleasant tang to it. Our prejudices against other races and religions and lifestyles, not to mention this time of year political parties, these prejudices make me feel better about myself temporarily because I can step on somebody else in doing so. But this emotional bump is both artificial and shallow, even though it's a quick fix. And I grow used to it. At first, it's just a one-time thing. Second place, it becomes a habit, and soon it's a way of life. You can just see that first villager from the gospel. He probably didn't go in thinking, I'm going to become a pig farmer. It probably was, hey, I got an opportunity to trade one pig and make a quick denarii. What's the harm? Pretty soon that denarii was weekly. And next thing you know, pig farming became a way of life. Because that's how sin works in my heart too. First, it's a one-time tang, and who's really harmed? Then it's a habit, and soon it's a way of life. But when I find myself remembering someone's sin from 7 years ago, I got a pig that I got to get rid of. When I find myself taking offense where I know none was intended, I got a pig. When I find myself skipping prayer because I'm too tired and that becomes a daily routine, I've got a pig. When I find that it's more rewarding to judge than to love, I got a pig. When I look at someone of a different political party or lifestyle or race or religion, and I look at them less than I look at my own family, I've got a pig. And you're going to have to help me out here. I'm just giving you some general examples. Deep down, you know your pigs better than I do. But into that artificially profitable mess that we've made, Jesus will enter. And he will offer to heal your soul. I guarantee it. This is a question. It's a line that popped into my head as I was writing this. It's a line from a song of an old police TV show I used to watch in my teens. What you gonna do when he comes for you? Right? When Jesus comes to heal, what are you gonna choose? Are you gonna choose healing? Because Jesus will come and he will heal. And he will gladly send our pigs, our excuses, our prejudices, our tangy sins down the embankment if we're willing to let them go. And then what? Do I go back to them? Do I just say, thanks just the same, Lord, but I'll keep my pigs because I'm used to them now, move along? Or do we begin new? Do we begin clothed in newfound virtue? Do we sit at his feet in our right mind and say, Lord, I was the prisoner. Thank you for setting me free. Amen.
Amen.